All right. So this is one of about three or four gospel readings that priests dread to preach about. Because it's just so harsh and seemingly contradictory to Jesus' normal message. So in a way, today is going to be a bit more about Luke than Jesus. What was Luke trying to say here? So let's start by naming the apparent contradictions, just to get them out in the open. And we're going to stick to the two big ones for today. One, Jesus says that he comes to divide people and families. For the most part, Jesus promises to bring people together. And two, Jesus says that he's here to destroy peace. Kind of an odd thing to hear. Well, we're going to start with that second one. It's actually a bit easier to understand. Jesus is absolutely for peace in one sense of the word, and he's against peace in another sense of the word. Peace is a tricky word like that. Jesus is for the kind of peace which Luke talks about in the nativity story, and it's the sense of bringing about inner grace. The most beautiful and profound meaning of the word peace refers to knowing and loving who you are as God sees you. So you can be at peace on a battlefield if you are focused on what must be done here and now. That peace is the I have made my peace with this kind of peace. And it's about inner awareness and conviction, regardless of the craziness that's going on around you. That peace is very compatible with Jesus. The peace that Jesus came to destroy is the peace of what we might call domestic tranquility. Or in other words, the peace that is dangerously close to apathy. My brother beat the family dog with a stick for 2 hours, but he's my brother, so I'm at peace with it. Jesus says no to that. That is the sort of peace that Jesus does not accept. When Jesus says he's coming to take away peace, he's saying that he's going to take away our ability to ignore wrongness for the sake of social courtesy. And that leads us to the part of dividing families. Jesus isn't saying that families are bad and need to be broken up. He's saying that even family ties are secondary in comparison to doing the right thing. When we are called to do something right, and when that thing that is right is truly difficult, not everyone is going to do what must be done. You might have to leave some people behind if they refuse to journey with you along the path less traveled. Some will have the strength to follow Christ, others will not. So a family of five might end up 2 versus 3. It doesn't mean that they cease to be a family. It means that a divided family is better than a family united in apathy, with no one moving forward. After all, with a divided family, the other half can always catch up with the rest. All right? So that is what Luke is getting at. Doing the right thing is more important than blood relations. And it's a scary reading, because it has to be. If he said it more gently, people probably wouldn't listen and take it to heart. You need to shock people sometimes in order to break stubborn bad habits. And that's why the reading sounds the way it does. So just what is that stubborn bad habit, you ask? Do people really let family get in the way of justice? Maybe not here so much. American culture doesn't seem to do that as a general rule. But other cultures still have that problem, and it can cripple their society. I've mentioned a couple of times before that I lived in Africa for 2 years. I was a teacher in Burkina Faso in the west part of Africa. I miss some of it. Other parts of it, I don't miss at all. Case in point, thieves. Don't miss the thieves. Why would I? Now, if you go out to eat in that country, like at a restaurant, and you forget your phone or your camera on the table, well, it's probably going to be long gone by the time you remember that you forgot it, turned around, and headed back to the restaurant. Now, to be fair, Burkina Faso is not a high crime country. Statistically, there are about as many thieves as anywhere else. After all, I'm pretty sure all of you locked your car this morning in the church parking lot in southeastern Wisconsin. My point is, you can get robbed anywhere. So that is not my beef with Burkina Faso. My beef, as it were, was the fact that the thieves always got away with it. A fellow volunteer of a friend of mine in a small village to the east, far away from me, she got robbed at one point. Someone snuck into her house, and she lost her iPod and her digital camera, two things that are very common when you get robbed. Well, it turns out that about a dozen people were robbed over the course of a week or two in this village, and the police found out who did it. It was some 12 or 13-year-old that went on a crime spree. So in his bedroom were like a dozen phones, a pile of money, and a few other valuables from all over town. And they took the items, and thankfully my friend got her things back. But the kid wasn't punished in any meaningful way, because his father was fairly important in the town, and the kid was just excused of any wrongdoing for basically no reason. And I will leave it to you to guess whether or not he stole more things after that point. In that country, family did the same thing at 8 o'clock mass. And present back. No, not upgrade to premium. This is part of the reason I don't like doing this very often. Okay, in that country, families don't punish their own members. So a son will steal from his father's store all he wants, and nothing will be done about it. A cousin will borrow a motorcycle without permission and not fill it back up with gas when he's done, and we'll go ahead and borrow it again next week. And the list goes on. The point is that stealing is a bad habit. Almost all of us have stolen something in our life. Good parenting demands that the culprit be punished. And in Burkina Faso, that doesn't really happen. The family is not divided. The family stays together. But that kind of unity isn't good in the long run. It's unity at the expense of justice, and the whole family is worse off in the end. So please, don't let this reading scare you too much. Jesus does not want to tear our families to shreds. He wishes to divide us when necessary, because it's the only way to achieve true wholeness, the kind of wholeness that comes through action rather than inaction.